Mamaly Stevens is with us for a korero today. Poverty in our country, and is our social security system part of the solution or the problem? Now, Mamaly is a social security law expert out of Victoria University. And today we're going to talk about our social security system that seems to serve to perpetuate poverty. Mamaly's been with the Faculty of Law since January of 2000 after several years studying and working in corrections and Māori broadcasting. From 08 till 15, along with Assistant Professor Mary Boyce, formerly at the University of Hawaii, ran the Legal Māori Project. Her primary research interests are law and language, Māori and the New Zealand legal system, and social security law. Māori, it's been a while since we've had a korero. It's great to have you on the program. Tōhene, tēnā koe.
Tēnā koe,
Māori. Well, look, how long has the social welfare system been going? And share with us what you understand to be its original intent.
Well, people talk about the social security system in the context of poverty, thinking that the social security system was really created to alleviate poverty. But, of course, the word poverty doesn't appear in the Act, never did in the original Act. So the system as a whole was introduced in 1938. There were earlier bits and pieces, you know, things like the Old Age Pension Act was introduced in 1898, which excluded Asian whānau, by the way. Then there was the families, like the widow's benefits and invalid's benefits and things like that. So piecemeal, bit by bit. And then eventually Michael Joseph Savage and the Labor government that came in 1935, they created this, the bones of the system that we now have. There's not, you know, when you dig deep enough, it's the same kind of system that we now have today. So that's 1938.
How have Māori been involved in this area? Initially, I hear that our people were ineligible.
No, they've never been necessarily ineligible. What's happened has been, in the same way that Asian people were, particularly Chinese, what has tended to happen is that Māori have tended, things like birth certificates were needed in those early years to establish eligibility for the old age pension, and Māori often didn't have birth certificates, or there'd be some kind of assumption that Māori would be living off the land, at the same time, of course, as Māori are losing the land. And of course, when we look at that, that's where poverty comes in very early on in the 19th century. As Māori are losing land, we are losing the key kind of means of welfare for Māori communities. And what we see happen over the course of the late 19th and then early decades of the 20th century is that the Māori economy completely flips from being a land-based economy where we're sustaining our own people to one where Māori become late. where Māori become wage labourers, effectively. And so that kind of brings us into when there's ups and downs in the economy, you know, when there's a depression or there's some recession, Māori are the first, because of the nature of the jobs Māori have tended to inhabit, often, particularly from the 1980s, Māori then have become increasingly reliant on social security. But those early days, Māori were not technically excluded. But what was happening off screen, of course, is that the Māori means of welfare being totally, completely upended and, destroyed.
Many are critical of social welfare, how it's robbed us of incentive. Designed as a backstop, some would say that it's become a barrier to growth. Your thoughts?
Well, I'm a child of the welfare system myself. Our dad ran off when I was born, and if it weren't for the new arrival of the DPB in 1972, our family would be in a lot worse situation. So I tend to view the welfare system as absolutely necessary. There's nothing else in New Zealand that has quite the wide reach other than taxation into households. But at the same time, what we have seen, when we look at the development of the whole 19th and 20th century, what we've seen is time and time again, Māori are trying to have control over our own welfare kind of lives, our own welfare for our own communities, and time again, those things get knocked back. You know, the Second World War and the Māori War Effort organisation, for example, was a welfare organisation. It created 315 committees to make sure that widows and whānau were getting support and all the rest of it in a very Māori way. And, you know, that only lasted a few years because the government of the time could not conceptualise of Māori really having any kind of degree of rangatiratanga over our own welfare options. So we still see this again and again happening. Pu'au Te Ata Tū, a report in 1986 that came out from Māori, looking at how Māori were kind of being, even though we weren't being excluded from benefits technically, there were a lot of welfare officers that were excluding Māori using discretion and discretion against Māori. So we wanted to take power for ourselves to be able to do our own thing. And that's, time and time again, we see that dynamic. But we have kind of a lot of waka being smashed on that shore of the monolithic state. Having said that, again, as a child of the welfare state myself, I'm grateful that actually our whānau did have a lifeline. So there's this tension between our seeking rangatiratanga and things about welfare and finding our own poverty solutions, but also kāwanatanga, making sure that we can access the benefits, the fruits, if you like, of belonging to society where government taxation dollars are being used to provide a system that at least provides some kind of safety net. But yeah, it's a really difficult tension to manage.
You know, sort of the vibe on the streets that the system's actually a punitive tool to make life as difficult as possible for those who are in need, particularly women and particularly Māori. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, I think what tends to happen is that often people, particularly Māori, don't get their full entitlement. So there might be a particular benefit that you might apply for, but there could be other things, other means of support, special needs grants, or other kinds of support that could be kind of added on to that core basic support. And often what's happening is it's not sufficient, and caseworkers may not be aware of, in some cases, or pushing for the full entitlement. So there's been a bit of research done around that, and it's pretty clear that full entitlement has not been a goal of the system for a long time. I know there's been a lot of policy work done on that, but full entitlement, if people had their full entitlement, it would help more with the kind of poverty trap, if you like. But no, that's definitely, the system is incredibly complex. The larger it has gotten over the years, and all the different modules and all the different types of assistance that you can get and all the different requirements you have to meet in order to get the assistance, this complex welfare system that we now have, there are definitely obstacles in the way of people, and that's disproportionately Māori, not getting the assistance that they really need. And the sufficiency is one of the biggest problems. We're not keeping up with inflation. So, you know, we all know our inflation has been kind of rising for quite some time now. And so that problem is eating into what people can survive on. And so it's bad.